Welcome to the daily full show podcast of the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The Power Station.
And now, right across Australia, it's time for Luke Grant, filling in for Ray Hadley.
Good morning. Welcome to the Ray Hadley Morning Show on Thursday, the 4th day of June in 2015. I know I said Ray would be back today. I know, you don't have to remind me. Sadly for us, Ray's still not 100%, but he tells me it is likely he'll be back tomorrow. We'll cross everything and see what happens. The obvious point to make here, seriously, is that we don't want him to rush back and make himself worse. No one wants that. So he'll make the call, but again, we're hoping he's back tomorrow. Once again, great to be with you on 2GB, on 4BC and 2CC. Weather today, it's cold again in many parts of Ray's listening area. Sydney today, mostly sunny, tops around 18. Brisbane, sunny, tops of 22. That's the place to be today. And in Canberra, wait for this, top 9 with a late shower. Yes, I said 9. In Ray's absence, the rules are the same, no matter where you're listening to the show. Telephone number 131 873. If you want to get to us via the email, simply go to 2gb.com or 4bc.com.au, click on that feedback icon, and away we go. Plenty to talk about today. Look, an unusual place to start, but part of what we do here on Ray's show is to keep you informed and safe, so if you don't mind, I'd like to start with a couple of product recalls, one that affects me and might interest you. Now, first off, this airbag thing is remarkable when you hear the numbers. Josh Dowling, good man at news.com.au, I think he's our motoring editor, he tells us the number of vehicles caught up in the world's biggest recall over potentially deadly airbags has ballooned to more than, this is in Australia, 660,000 after more cars were added to the list overnight. Now, despite the increase in numbers, experts have warned motorists of affected vehicles, don't disable the airbags yourself. Don't even get them disabled. It's more dangerous than having these airbags there. Just follow the instructions. If you go to the ACCC website, you'll see everything listed there for you. Honda's recalling 18,200 Accords and some MDX family SUVs. Chrysler's also doing some further recalls as well. So far, authorities in the US and Australia have not ordered the recall cars off the road, it's important to add. And the odds of being killed are difficult to calculate. Not all airbags in the 53 million cars around the world. That number's right. These are cars around the world, 53 million. Not all are defective, but internal testing show that 265 of 30,000 recalled airbags had in fact ruptured, or less than 1%. Might sound like good odds until you realise that still leaves more than 500,000 cars around the world in trouble. And about 6,000 of those are in Australia. That's airbags that can kill. So check the ACCC website. You get some details there. Now, quick note to Samsung. As you know, it's been highlighted here by Ray over a year ago and subsequently more recently when there were some fires. Samsung, they have a potential fire risk with some top load washers. Now, I have one of the affected washing machines. And of course, you contact Samsung and they have a chat to you and work out whether you do or you don't have the right machine with the the correct serial numbers and all that goes with that. So we contacted them and they said, hey, no dramas, thank you. We'll get back to you in 2 to 5 days. 9 days ago, heard nothing. So run an ad, make plenty of noise and all that sort of stuff and look like the appropriate corporate citizen, but I would have thought with someone with the potential fire risk, when you say 2 to 5 days, you mean 2 to 5 days, not 9. I mean, do we need a fire to get your attention? Come on. To the news of the day, what hope has this country got with attitudes like this? This from the Telegraph today. Single mum and new Australian citizen Agnieszka Swetlaska has attacked her adopted country, demanding it pay her more welfare than the $530 a fortnight she receives now. The Polish-born 38-year-old, who sends her 5-year-old son to a private school, wants the Abbott government to back pay her single parenthood payments. She became a citizen in March. She said she was being discriminated against after existing laws forced her to wait until September to receive single parenthood payments. Permanent residents who became citizens must wait 104 weeks before gaining access to welfare payments. The mother said, I want them to start paying me since I became a citizen. I want them to pay back, i.e. back pay, all of the money because I'm entitled to this money. And I don't want them to change the law so other people who fall into this category don't have this problem. Now, she'll also be affected by changes to family tax arrangements from next year because she refuses to vaccinate her son. Oh, yeah, she ticks plenty of boxes, don't worry. She lives in a small home, no bedrooms or hot water, in the north coast town of Lanook. She said she would not have spent the money to become an Australian if she knew she'd be treated like a, a second-class citizen. Well, if being Australian was all about money and entitlement, I kind of wish, like you, you hadn't spent the money either. In fact, I kind of wish you weren't here. She receives $530 a fortnight in welfare payments, a further $40 a week in parental payments and family tax benefits. She spends $600 a term, we're told, to put her son through a private Steiner school and recently bought a car. She was angry when she had to pay full car registration because she did not have a pension card. Again, if it's all about the dollars, those of us that pay the dollars, because I assume you know this, Miss Switlaska, we just don't print these things on, you know, paper or plastic and say, here's some dollars. People have to work hard to pay tax so those dollars materialise. So again, if it's all about the dollars, those of us that pay those dollars are a little over this whole entitlement thingo. She said, yes, I do have obligations towards this country, thank goodness, but somehow the country has no obligations towards me and my son. I did not have to spend $320 for the citizenship application. I did not have to pass the tests and make the oath. She's lost appeals with Centrelink and Social Security Appeals Tribunal, and she said she was in limbo and wanted changes to welfare laws. Now, she has tried to find part-time work. She says, I want to work. I've got the skills to offer. But she's struggled because her son's only allowed to attend his school 3 days a week. The trained community welfare worker in the telly all this is, who has paid taxes in the past and worked with Indigenous communities and refugees, and good on her for that, complained that she was obliged to vote in the New South Wales election while not receiving parenting payments. What is this? Look, she is, I have to say, and you would understand, a very easy target for someone like me. I hope someone close to her taps her on the shoulder and gives her a couple of tips, a couple of ideas. The first one would be, it's a great thing you get from being an Australian. That thing you get is like winning lotto. It is the word opportunity. You get that. And the other thing is, please look up and understand the definition and meaning of the word responsibility. Please take ownership of your situation and its solution. It's not the Prime Minister. It's not the Social Services Minister. It's not the Premier. It's not your next door neighbour. It's not me. It's not Bowen. It's you. Fair dinkum. It is, isn't it, to some extent, indicative of the drama we face here. This, I should bloody well get one of them. Anyway, we've heard from 2CC this morning. This is important. ACT Policing is investigating a single-vehicle collision in which a person has died on Ginninderra Drive at Latham. About 5 to 5, police responded to a collision on Ginninderra Drive. Westbound, a single car collided with a tree, caught fire. Fire and Rescue ACT were at the scene, extinguished the fire. Ambulance also there. The collision did result in fatal injuries to the driver. No one else in the car at the time. That road, Ginninderra Drive, is closed westbound between Kingsford Smith Drive and Tilyard Drive. It's the sixth fatal collision on ACT roads this year. 1-800-333-000 Crime Stoppers if you have any information by being a witness. And thanks, Pete, for the info. You get the feeling in New South Wales that things are about to happen here. Premier Mike Baird wants the first lease of the state's electricity poles and wires network to be finalised by the end of the year. Of course, the bill was passed 1917 in the upper house late last night, handing over 49% of the state's electricity network to private leaseholders for 99 years. they have to be found and a price has to be set. But I have to say, it feels like it's really exciting. It feels like there's about to get a whole lot, the state is about to get a whole lot busier. We'll see if expectations and reality collide, I guess, in the next few years. But well done, Mike Baird. Took it to the people, won the election, resounding victory. Went through the upper house last night. And we get some infrastructure. It's got to be a good thing, doesn't it? But again, the expectation and collision, its collision with reality, I guess we'll be able to judge before we next go to the polls in New South Wales. The Federal Treasurer, Joe Hockey, not backing down on his harsh judgment of anyone talking about a looming recession. A day after he labelled economic doomsayers clowns, he has told the ABC they're also complete fools. Go Joe. Mr. Hockey said the latest national growth figures show Australia had one of the fastest growing economies in the developed world during the March quarter. Shadow Treasurer Chris Bowen, who of course is a clown, advised Treasurer Hockey to steer clear of the words like clown for his own good. He said most people associate the words clown and Joe Hockey in a way that he wouldn't appreciate. Fair enough. Alan Bond is a fighter, but his current condition is not good. John Bertrand saying this, Mr. Bond is in Perth's Fiona Stanley Hospital after being placed in an induced coma following heart surgery yesterday. John Bertrand said, you know, he's a fighter. We know that. He never gives up, but he was going in for a replacement heart valve. It hasn't turned out as one would hope, he's said to the Nine Network today. Hopefully, he said, he'll come through, but to be honest, it doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good. I'm trying to work out, we had a chat around the office this morning, is Bond a hero, a villain? Is he a bit of both? I mean, the winning of the America's Cup was outstanding. I mean, if you were around that time, you remember where you were and what you were doing, don't you? Oh, no, I didn't go to work that day. Well, I did go late, and it wasn't because Hawkey said, you know, if I got punted for going late, then the boss was a you-know-what. It was just compelling viewing. It was early in the morning. What was it, about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, something like that? But I just couldn't take my eyes off the TV. It was a massive comeback. And then, of course, he handed the Packers a fortune just by being himself. And we have to remember there are mum and dad investors and others who lost out big time through his, I guess, poor management. But he is gravely ill. So we'll see where things end up with Alan Bond through the course of the day. And any news we get, we'll let you know. Hopefully it'll be good news, not the other. What about this? A 25-year-old woman's been charged with rape after allegedly stabbing another woman with a screwdriver in Brisbane. 30-year-old stabbed in her eyes, genitals, arm and ear at an Ashgrove property in the early hours of this morning, Queensland police say. Her attacker, alleged attacker I should say, is expected to face Brisbane Magistrates Court today, charged with one count of rape and one count of acts intended to maim or disfigure. I'll have more to say about those Rick Williams allegations detailed in the Courier-Mail yesterday. Look, I note overnight, having a look at the Courier-Mail, that there is, I think this is a real, as they say, really a bad call. Police Minister Joanne Miller has made an extraordinary personal phone call to the central witness who's alleging serious impropriety by Labor MP Rick Williams. Now, we started talking about this yesterday, and just very briefly now. Again, I'll say, I don't know if this is the sort of thing that brings down a government that's got a margin of one. But boy, oh boy, with ministers ringing allegedly witnesses to alleged attacks and the like, I don't know how wise that would be, I have to say. Now, sport, and there's lots to talk about there. Yesterday, Phil Rothfield, the Daily and Sunday Telegraph sports editor-at-large, called us, as he does, he speaks to Ray often. Breaking news, the Daily Cherry Evans news, the Gold Coast backflip with a twist and pike. I was uncomfortable, seems many others are. I mean, keeping it at a basic level, a man's word's got to be worth something, doesn't it? Now, Phil writes today, Mick Cronin, what a great man Mick Cronin is, great player, and just came through the game unscathed. And you hear him talk to Ray from time to time on the continuous call team, just a good bloke, bloke you'd like to know, bloke you'd like to meet. He described it in Phil's piece today as a sad and embarrassing day for rugby league. Back in the Parramatta Legends era, a handshake was a handshake. He said, your word was your bond, there was no going back. Now, Cronin's not dirty at the way Daly Cherry Evans has conducted his affairs. And I have to say, most people's commentary is not about the position or the actions of Daly Cherry Evans directly, more or less that the circumstance exists where you can do what he did. And he's more saddened that the game is not so much about honour and respecting a contract these days. I was watching news last night, sure it was Nine News, and it was the Melbourne coach who made the point, Craig Bellamy, that, you know, if you're not going to follow through with a contract, well, don't sign the bloody thing. Hard to argue with that very frank advice, I must say. Cronin said he had a perfectly legal safety net that he used to his advantage. It's a bit like jumping out of a plane. You wouldn't do it without a parachute. When he signed with the Gold Coast, he knew that there was that clause. He said, I just think it's sad and embarrassing that players have been given that window. I agree 100%. Thank goodness they've changed things. Just on footy, there is another trend that drives me crazy. Players diving for a penalty a la soccer. You see them, they get a little tap or something. They refuse to rise to their feet. Replay on the big screen, fans get to boo, team gets a penalty, get 2 points, could win. You know how it works. Meantime, this allegedly maimed player jumps to his feet, probably does a couple of handstands, a smile, a joke with his mates and runs back into position. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with him. I reckon that is just weak, frankly. Thank goodness round 13 rule, though, has been changed. Let's hope that the milking of penalties thing can be addressed sometime in the future as well. In the French Open, Andy Murray beat David Ferrer 7-6, 6-2, 5-7, 6-1. Novak Djokovic beat Rafael Nadal 7-5, 6-3, 6-1. They were in the quarterfinals. Women, Baczynski beat Van Uytvanck 6-4, 7-5. I should have just said the Swiss player beat the Belarus or the Belgium player. Serena Williams beat Sarah Errani 6-1, 6-3. Well done to those people. Australia were 3-for-85 at stumps. Day one of the first test against the Windies in cricket. 63 runs behind the home team's meagre 148. Josh Hazlewood, Mitchell Johnson both took 3 wickets for the tourists as they bowled out the Windies for their second lowest first inning score against Australia in the Caribbean. At stumps, Steve Smith not out 17. Debutante Adam Voges unbeaten on 20. 24 hours after announcing his resignation as FIFA president, Sepp Blatter has received a standing ovation at the World Soccer Governing Body's headquarters in Zurich. He was emotional, reportedly, as he gave a speech to some 400 members of staff. Look, the point with Blatter I made yesterday and repeat today is he must have nothing to do with the next regime. And he's in there as a president now. He can organise his own deals and stitch things up. That is no change at all. No change at all. There needs to be a gap between what exists now and what might exist next. And there must be assurance that this won't be organised by the departing Blatter, who is under increasing pressure, it seems, from investigation in the USA. Brisbane Roar. Devont Clute has scored twice as the A-League club scored a 3-0 upset win over Spanish outfit Villarreal in the LFP World Challenge Clash. Good on them. With incoming coach John Aloisi watching them on from the stands, the scoring was opened with a now trademark thunderbolt from 5 minutes before half-time. Good on them. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au. If you'd like to drop us an email, we'd love to hear from you. Luke Grant in the chair for Ray again today, who is sadly again unwell. We're hoping he's back tomorrow. Pick up the phone, give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind on this Thursday morning.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 Used Cars.
At Bankstown, we have a truck. He's broken down. Stacey Street, lane 1, northbound over the rail bridge. Now, he's causing major problems. We have delays on Stacey Street going back onto Fairford Road all the way back to Canterbury Road. Now, the M5, still rather busy. Eastbound around King George's Road as you make your way down towards the tunnel. In the city, a person's been knocked over. George Street, just near Wynyard Railway Station. That's mainly affecting northbound traffic. And between Lithgow and Bathurst, roadworks on the Great Western Highway. Speed down to 40 km in some areas. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Shell V-Power has been designed to improve your engine's performance. Look for Shell V-Power at Shell Coles Express and fill up with vroom.
24 after 9, now just for listeners in Sydney, we understand the North Shore line, the train line, is closed in both directions between North Sydney and Chatswood due to reports of a person struck by a train at St Leonard's. Warwick, you dropped me an email asking what was going on. That is what's going on there, mate, and we'll update that situation for you shortly. Let's hope that there is no one injured there. The weather quickly. Sydney today mostly sunny. Penrith 18, Cherry Hill 16, Richmond 18, Parramatta 18, Campbelltown 17, 18 in the city. Shower or two tomorrow, 18, becoming sunny on the weekend, 18 Saturday, 20 on Sunday. Brisbane today, sunny 22, the airport 21, Ipswich 21, Gold Coast 22. Did I hear somewhere early in the day Ipswich was 3 or 4 degrees overnight? Redcliffe 21 today, Sunshine Coast 22, Gold Coast 22. Tomorrow in Brisbane, 22 sunny, Saturday possible shower 23, partly cloudy 24 on Sunday. Around New South Wales, Port Macquarie mostly sunny. In fact, as I look here, no, it's not all the same. Port Macquarie mostly sunny 19, Kempsey the same 19. In Coffs, sunny 20. Now, there is a chance of a late shower or late rain at Wagga Wagga 11, Griffith 13, Goulburn 11, Cooma 12, Jindabyne and Orange both 9, Bathurst 12, Lithgow 11, Barrel 12, Canberra late shower 9, Mildura rain at times 15. In Queensland today, basically sunny or mostly sunny all around the place. Cunnamulla today 18, Maryborough 24, Hervey Bay 23, Townsville 27, Charters Towers the same 27, Toowoomba 17, Kingaroy 20, Charleville 19, Mount Isa 27, Longreach 25, Emerald 25, Roma 20, Dalby 19, St George and Gundawindi both 17. 9:26. 29 after 9 every Thursday. Ray is joined by Immigration Minister Peter Dutton. Plenty to talk to the Minister about today. He's in our Canberra studio. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Luke. How are you?
Very well. Nice to talk to you again, Peter. Thank you. I wanted to talk to you about citizenship and cabinet leaks. But first, that article in the Daily Telegraph I made mentioned I was maybe really angry today concerning a woman who has recently received citizenship, this Agnieszka Switlowska, has lived in Australia for the last 8 years but only became an Aussie citizen in March. She's now demanding we pay her more welfare than the $5.30 a fortnight she receives. She's living in far northern New South Wales. Five-year-old son she sends to a private Steiner, I think it is, school. She refuses to vaccinate or have him vaccinated. She says she doesn't want to regret becoming an Australian citizen. How did you feel reading that?
Well, look, I checked the date on the Daily Telly this morning. I thought it was April Fool's Day. I thought it was a joke. And really, if you're not happy, then presumably pack your bags and off you go. I think people are here at in a country where we provide enormous amount of support to people who are either here for on a permanent basis or even a temporary basis. So there are lots of welfare arrangements we pay. We have one of the best hospital and health systems in the world. People come here to start a new life and they need to help themselves. So I presume this lady's off to work and providing support to her family so that she won't be a burden on the taxpayer. And the Australian taxpayer is happy to welcome people to our country. We're a multicultural society. Millions of people here in Australia today weren't born in this country. And we have one of the greatest countries on earth, but we are not going to be taken advantage of. And that's the whole idea of this new Citizenship Act changes that we want to implement, because we do believe there's a great privilege attached to being an Australian citizen, and we're not going to be taken for a ride by people like this.
And the other part of that is, for people who contribute, not everyone can, and that's understood, and we do have the safety net. But when you hear this idea of entitlement, not only does she expect to be paid more, but she wants it to be back paid. That whole idea of, the society owes me something, it does infuriate, you'd understand, taxpayers.
Well, it's a cancer in our society, and we have a great society where we do provide support to people that can't help themselves or because of injury or inability or disability. They are given support by the taxpayer, but we are in a society where all Australians expect that if you can work, if you're able-bodied and you're able to work, you should be going to work and support your own family. It says to me that a lot of these people don't understand the culture of Australia and what it is to be Australian. And that's why I think we need to tighten up in relation to the Citizenship Act so that we can say to people, if you want to come here from a country where, frankly, you probably wouldn't have got any support whatsoever from the taxpayer, if you want to come here, you contribute to society, you help build a better country, you don't detract from it.
Yeah, well said. Now, there's a story this morning, an asylum seeker boy being held on Nauru could be flown, they reckon, 10,000 kilometres to India rather than Australia for surgery on a broken arm. Is there any truth to that story, and why India rather than Australia?
Well, there's no truth to the story. First I heard of it was when I saw it in the press this morning. I noticed some people have been out there commenting on it, giving their advice, unsolicited, of course, but based completely on something that's not true. And we have medical services that are available in Nauru. The Nauruan government obviously has the system up there to provide people with support that need it when it comes to medical attention. We will provide support otherwise, but the story about going to India is not true.
Mm. Cabinet leaks, pretty damaging press reports if you're inclined to believe them. I don't know really what to think. There was apparently a fiery meeting where a number of your colleagues argued against your proposal to strip second-generation citizens of their Australian citizenship if they're supporting terror. Apparently Malcolm Turnbull and Julie Bishop have denied leaking the details of the meeting. Apparently only four other ministers spoke against your proposal: Ministers Pine, Brandis, Joyce and Kevin Andrews. Do you know who the leaker was?
Well, look, I think the trouble with all of this sort of insider talk is that it detracts from what it is the government's trying to do, and that is try and stand up to this threat of terrorism. And those of us who sit on the National Security Committee, including the Prime Minister and I, we are very concerned about the advice that we get from our intelligence agencies. We know now that we have over 110 people fighting in Syria. There are over 150 people back here who are providing support to those people or are preparing acts themselves. Mm. We know that some of the advice is that these people are in advanced stages. We know that the police and the intelligence agencies are staring down this threat every day. And what we want to do is say, if you're going to try and harm an Australian because they are an Australian, then you should expect consequences. When you take that oath and when you stand up at that ceremony and say that you pledge your allegiance to Australia and its people, it has to mean something.
Of course it does.
If people are going to try and, this barbaric act of trying to cut people's heads off or blow people up, well, I'm sorry, you don't deserve to be an Australian citizen.
100%. You see, I get that. I agree with you. Everyone around here is nodding as you talk. And the other point is, if you make the conscious decision, you know what, I'm going to fly to Syria or somewhere else in the Middle East and be part of the Daesh and try and fight whoever it is they're fighting over there, you have actively, apart from breaking clearly the law, you've actively said to me, I can't be rehabilitated. There's no process where you can go from doing that to think, oh, I want to go back to Australia now and live a peaceful life, never again wanting to behead people or kill people because they're free. So if we're going to jail them for life, someone's got to pay for that, you know, that whole process. Bugger them. Leave them there. They're no longer Australian. You made the decision. We can't rehabilitate you. You're too much a danger to society. Stay there. Don't come back. And if that means you're stateless, you know, tough you-know-what. Surely, I think most Australians, I know most people around me now are nodding saying, too right, that's the way it should be.
Well, most people understand. I mean, you can see it on your TV sets every other night, what's happening in other parts of the world. And we know now from Martin Place and from the attack on the two police officers in Melbourne that this is an issue, you know, front and centre for our country. And the biggest threat that we face today is terrorism. And what we've said is, well, the UK has an act where they've, since 2006, had this as part of their law. They've stripped citizenship from 27 people. They haven't taken, they haven't rendered people stateless. And we're saying, well, in part, we want to adopt what the UK is doing. That is that if there's a dual national, they're a terrorist, or they're involved in terrorist activities, we take their Australian citizenship away and they fall back to their original citizenship.
Yeah.
The UK has a second provision which says, well, we can take the UK citizenship away, and providing somebody can avail themselves of citizenship in another country, then they satisfy themselves that that person's not being rendered stateless. So we're having a look at that second part. It's part of Philip Ruddock's discussion paper. But the first part we think is entirely sensible. We're going to introduce that legislation within a couple of weeks. And the difficulty and the frustration in all of this, Luke, is that we still don't know what Bill Shorten wants to do in relation to it. And I think most Australians would say, well, this is a pretty simple decision. You want to stare down this threat of terrorism. The government's putting forward a reasonable bill. What does Bill Shorten believe in? And I think the fact that he's remained silent on this issue now for over a week is unbelievable.
You see, I just don't understand why there are some in your party that say, yes, we want to play by the rules and we can't leave people stateless. We're the only ones playing by the rules. The other mob want to cut our heads off. So once you accept that reality, and that is reality, we're at war with these bastards. What the hell are we even thinking twice about? It is wrong that Shorten's mute on it, but it's also wrong that I agree with your point. We should get bloody tough, given the circumstances, and make this a case. If you want to come here and cut people's heads off, if you want to talk the country down, if you want to serve in the Middle East for the enemy, then see you later. You're not part of the joint in any way, shape or form. What's wrong with that thought?
Well, I just think if you've got Australia's best interests at heart, if you want to put Australia's national interest first and foremost, you have to take care of your citizens. And that's exactly what the Prime Minister and I are proposing in this bill. We're not going to deviate from the path. We have said that if you rise up against Australians, either here on our soil or overseas, if you seek to do harm to Australian men, women or children, there is a price to pay for it, and you'll pay that price.
All right, better move on to something quickly. A story in Fairfax today reports doctors and teachers working in immigration detention facilities could be jailed for up to 2 years if they speak out about conditions in those centres. It's under the Border Force Act, introduced last month, and trusted people working in centres which could also be in trouble if they provide information to the media. So what's going on here?
Well, just to sort of give the full facts, there's a whistleblower legislation. So if people have got difficulties, there's a process they can go through, and the Whistleblower Act overrides the provisions of this Act. So we still provide protection for people that see the wrong thing, that want to report it in the right way, and that's the assurance that we can give. But we don't make any apology for this, and even the Labor Party supported this bill in the Parliament. We say that we have some very sensitive information. There is a lot of work that we're doing around counter-terrorism. The Australian Border Force people are doing it, the airports, in our facilities otherwise, where there is sensitive information that's been collected. And also, our partners want to know that we're treating information in a sensitive way when they share that information with us. So we've said in this legislation that if you do the wrong thing, there is a penalty to pay. But if you're reporting something that a whistleblower would report, then we have the safeguards in place. And I think that's a reasonable balance. And as I say, it went through the Parliament in a bipartisan way. And I think it can operate sensibly so that we can protect the sensitive information that we have.
Yeah, all right. Before I let you go, I know you're in here last week with Ray, and I think I heard him say that you awarded him your Queensland State of Origin scarf. Now, he hasn't been here for 4 days. I put it to you, Minister, that in fact this scarf was laced with a virus or something like it, and that you knew that the voice of Hadley would turn the Blues' fortunes around, and almost like a spy on behalf of Meninga and others, you've sought to disable the great man so he mightn't have impact on the next Origin. Is there any truth in that?
Well, of all the allegations you've put to me this morning, Luke, this is the most credible one. It was laced with maroon, I'm sorry to say. He didn't put it on, but I know that that is a toxic substance for the Blues, and yes. Bring on game two.
Good on you. Good to talk. Thank you.
Thanks,
so much.
Luke, thanks,
thank
man.
You. All the best. 19 to 10. Great to be with you today for Ray, who hopefully will be back tomorrow. Let's see. Emails here. Dennis. G'day, Dennis. That sourpuss lady glaring out of this morning's paper and indignantly demanding more money from our government can go and take a long walk off a short pier into shark-infested waters for all that I care. As I've written many times before, I'm 70, charged with the responsibility of caring for my seriously ill wife. This has been the situation for about 8 years. As a result, I can only work 1 to 2 days a week. Sometimes not at all. My soup is almost gone. I've had to consistently draw upon it. Same goes for my savings. I earn on average $120 a week. That's it. I also pay tax, which I resent, goes towards keeping the likes of this whinger. $570 per fortnight would significantly change my situation. Frequent approaches to Centrelink over the last 5 years have got us nowhere. The best offer of assistance has been $36 a fortnight care allowance or something similar. There you go. Kind of puts everything into perspective quite nicely, doesn't it? 131873, quarter to 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 used cars.
At Bankstown, we know they have broken down trucks. Stacey Street, lane 1 northbound over the rail bridge, is just driven off, and also the RMS crews are leaving, but he's caused a few problems. Delays on Stacey Street back onto Fairford Road, all the way back to Canterbury Road. M5 still rather busy past King George's Road down to the main tunnel. At Mascot, a truck is broken down. Roby Street, lane 1 eastbound approaching O'Riordan Street, and between Lithgow and Bathurst, roadworks on the Great Western Highway. highway speed down to 40k's in some areas. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Tomorrow at 7-Eleven is Free Coffee Friday when you buy $5 or more of fuel. See in-store for details and enjoy a delicious free coffee at 7-Eleven. Good call.
14 to 10, 131 873. Ashley's email makes a whole lot of sense. That's exactly the point I was making before. How is it that we're not to leave these traitors stateless when they have the intent to leave us headless? That's exactly the point. Exactly the point. Any other attitude to me seems, I have to say, relatively weak. I mean, we're the only ones playing by the rules here. Can we understand that there's, you know, this kind of war thing happening? They want to leave us headless. We don't want to leave them stateless. Hello? Lena, hi.
Hi, good morning. How
morning.
Are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I could have talked to the minister before, but I just want to say I'm Polish and I'm really embarrassed.
Yeah.
We came to this country from war-torn Poland. My grandfather kissed the earth when he arrived here, and we were in migrant hostels, but we've always worked. We've never put demand on the people or this country, so I reckon send her back home and don't give her citizenship because we...
Oh, she's already...
That applies to everyone, I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, look, the point you make is a fair point, which is, you know, you get given the opportunity to be in this country, take that, run with it, but don't, after 5 minutes, turn around and say, just, hey, hang on. I want more. Give me more. This is wrong. I mean, it just doesn't... we don't cop that sort of stuff, nor should we. It's not the attitude we need to exist here, as the minister said to me. We've got to do so much better. And maybe as a result of this whole exercise, she might get that and then react a bit differently. There's one or two other... As I said before, she is an easy target for a show like this and people that are of my persuasion in terms of attitude and opinion and the like, but... But seriously, if we have a situation where we've got to rein things in, that flies in the face of the reality in which we live. It would be nice to throw a Rolls Royce and $100,000 at everyone each and every week. Sadly, we can't do it. We've got to contribute to a solution which involves us all working a bit harder, paying our taxes and just being a bit more restrained. Sorry, but that's the way it is. If you've got the money tree that Shorten apparently thinks exists out there, maybe we can all get access to that and it doesn't have to be so tough. 12 to 10. 8 to 10, 131873. Hopefully Ray back tomorrow. Recently, he's been covering a story extensively, you'll know, about two rapists who were granted bail ahead of sentencing. His interest in the matter was sparked by a story in the Illawarra Mercury by, I think it was Shannon Tonkin. Look, Ray contacted the office of the Attorney General Gabrielle Upton and provided that office with details of the case. Obviously very concerned, as we all were. Last week he announced the DPP would be appearing in court today, and the attempt would be to have bail for the two men revoked. Our court reporter Gil Taylor is in the Supreme Court and will bring us any news as it breaks. That's a victory for this show in particular. Just back to Peter Dutton for a moment. So I've seen this story about this morning, obviously. It's on our wire service. An asylum seeker boy being held on Nauru could be flown 10,000 k's to India rather than Australia for surgery on a broken arm. And the minister said, that's rubbish. He can't find any confirmation of that report at all. So how does that become news so readily? Rather confusing, isn't it? 131873. Andrew, g'day, mate. At Lane Cove says, I'm totally over the daily Cherry Evans show. Will he, won't he, I don't care. Anything parents, it seems to me, can do for their child is to give them a hyphen. Hanson Young, Cherry Evans, Chuvasa Shek, there's probably others. Andrew, you make a good point. I thank you for making it very much indeed. 131873. Craig says, one of the things I didn't realise about Alan Bond before this morning was he was a migrant. Maybe you can highlight that along with other examples, Lowy, etc., as to the opportunity that can come from being an Australian. Very good. News out of Queensland. Just in, Queensland Premier has stood aside Palmerston MP Rick Williams from the Legal Affairs Committee while allegations are being investigated. So I mentioned off the top of the show that, in fact, and this story was detailed in the Courier-Mail yesterday, I mentioned it in detail here on Ray Show, some of the allegations about this fellow's behaviour were a concern whilst he was on this committee. Now, the Premier Palaszczuk advised us that there would be a press conference yesterday morning at 9:30. Then that press conference disappeared from view. It was called off. And I guess the point she was making through the course of the day was it was not possible for her to speak, and one of her other ministers, in fact, said, look, listen, if there's going to be an allegation made, take those allegations to the police and have them dealt with properly there. And, of course, they were taken to the police last night by the Courier Mail, so they will be investigated. But what concerns me as well today is this story again in the Courier Mail, and they've done a great job here. Good on you. Police Minister Joanne Miller has made an extraordinary personal phone call to the central witness who is alleging serious impropriety by Labor MP Rick Williams. Ms. Miller phoned Bruce McLean out of the blue at 9 o'clock yesterday, the morning his wide-ranging allegations against the Palmerstone MP were revealed. The Premier refused to sack Williams from a powerful parliamentary committee which oversees police. But the fact you've got the police minister ringing the witness and having a chat, wow. All he can say is, wow. I don't think we've heard the last of this. Get into Sanity for the best new releases on DVD and Blu-ray. There's Taken 3, Brian, an ex-government operative, discovers his ex-wife is murdered. Framed for the crime, he tries to clear his name. Wasn't Brian the name of the dentist in that toothpaste commercial? This is a dentist. We can't show his face. His name is Brian. Well, he's gone from that to Taken 3. Well done. Or Foxcatcher. The greatest Olympic wrestling champion brothers team joins Team Foxcatcher as they train for the 1988 Games in Seoul. Don't miss out on Poldark. Ross Poldark returns home after American Revolutionary War and rebuilds his life with a new business venture, making new enemies and finding a new love. These new releases and plenty more available in your local Sanity store and online at sanity.com.au. Sanity, proud sponsor of the Ray Hadley Morning Show and supplier of the Ray Hadley Country Music Collection Volume 3, available now, supporting Professor Dominic Rowe's research into motor neurone disease. Sanity, great service and great value. 131873, the open line number. Emails 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au. Luke Grant in for Ray Hadley, almost 10 o'clock.
You're listening to Luke Grant filling in for Ray Hadley right across Australia.
And welcome back, hour two of Ray's show today. It's good to be with you. 131873, the number to call. 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au. If you'd like to drop us an email, we'd love to get that as well. Plenty of them already today, and I thank you for them. There is a story that we have an eye on that we might find further info on this morning, and that is the man accused of murdering the New South Wales high school teacher, Stephanie Scott, will face a Griffith court this morning. This Vincent Stanford, who's 24, and of course she was a popular English and drama teacher, Stephanie Scott. He's a fellow who's been charged with the murder of Stephanie after she went missing, you remember, on Easter Sunday, just a week before her planned wedding day. The burned remains of her body were found 5 days later in the Kokopara National Park, which is about 70 k's from Ms. Scott's hometown of Leeton. So we will just see what develops there. In the minute we have news based on what happens in court, we will bring that to you, of course. A teenager will face a Gold Coast court today accused of carrying loaded homemade firearms in public. Police spotted the 18-year-old suspiciously carrying a bag from a vehicle in an underground car park off Hanlon Street in Surfers Paradise last night. They intercepted him and allegedly found a loaded 22.22 caliber rifle and a loaded pen gun. Officers then attended a hotel where his associates were staying. They were detained while a 25-year-old woman who tried to escape over an 11th floor balcony was arrested and charged with a high-risk activity offence. The 18-year-old man is expected to face Southport Magistrates Court charged with a string of offences. One or two sporting stories around online. One of those is bizarre, I have to say. The thought that if Blake Ferguson makes a return for the Roosters on Sunday and plays well, he'll be into the Origin lineup. Who do they punt, I wonder? Jennings was there. Morris was there. Maybe they move someone to the wing or they put him in place of his Roosters teammate, Daniel Tupou. Is that what they're thinking of doing? But I thought, gee, with a bloke that hasn't played much footy at all, I'm not saying he's not very talented. He is. I mean, he's had his dramas and it seems like he's got things back on track. And he had played some very good football for the Roosters before the injury. But straight into Origin? Not sure about that. Anyway, that's what's being spoken about, so we better keep an eye on that one as well for you. 131873 is our number, 2gb.com. Click on feedback if you'd like to join us here on the Ray Hadley Morning Show with Luke Grant. Now, I've been speaking all morning, and we discussed this story with the Immigration Minister when he was here for his regular chat with Ray on a Thursday morning. And this relates to this story that we've seen in the Telegraph today, Agnieszka Switlowska. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. She's lived in Australia for the last 8 years, became an Australian citizen in March, and she's now demanding we pay her more welfare than the $530 a fortnight she already receives. Now, look, I have to be honest with you. I'm sometimes cautious with these because people can end up looking like, you know, a lot different than perhaps they are. So the best way maybe we should go about finding out more about this lady and her alleged demands is to hear from her herself. She has spoken to news.com.au on their website, and it sounds a lot like this.
Right now you can become the Australian citizen after a year of having the permanent residency, which is great. Australia is embracing the new citizens, but you do not qualify for any help from the government till 104 weeks, which gives us people like me in a bit of a limbo where we do not receive any social help. And the call to the government, the call to the right ministers, change the law, change the Centrelink law so we are being treated as citizens, or change the immigration law that people can become citizens after 2 years, not after a year. Because right now there is a bit of a gap in the law, and people like me, we are totally surprised that while we are proud citizens, we are not being treated like every other citizen. And my question is, are we a second category citizens? Are we a world citizens? Or maybe the government's got some job to do. In March 2015, I became the Australian citizen, and I thought I would be treated like a citizen from the day one. But unfortunately, 2 weeks after, I found out that Centrelink's got its own law, and I cannot receive the single parenthood payments. I have to wait till 104 weeks finish since the day when I received the permanent residency. So I am citizen. I had to vote in the last elections, New South Wales elections, but I've got no rights. It's quite tough financially right now. I receive $530 fortnightly plus some family tax benefits, and I have to rent place from this money. I have to pay my son's school. I have to buy food. I have to pay petrol. I'm receiving no other help from anyone else, and it's very difficult financially. I've got no support from my family. They're all over there in Poland. And because my son has got an Australian father, I do respect it. I respect his right to see his father. I respect his father's right to see my son. But I feel like I'm not being respected and helped and assisted when I really need that help, especially now that I'm an Australian citizen.
Wow. You know, I really wanted to give her benefit of the doubt. She's either horribly poorly researched, or she just expects everything on a plate listening to that. And she thinks she's so horribly poorly treated and off. Wow. Jeff Chambers, reporter at the Daily Telegraph, has spoken, travelled to the northern New South Wales town where she lives and interviewed her, and Jeff's on the line. G'day, Jeff.
G'day, Luke.
Wow, mate. I said before, you know, she's probably, for people like you and I and others, an easy target because of the way she chooses to express and conduct herself. But I have to say, having heard what you've recorded and published at news.com.au, I have little sympathy for the lady now. There is a real sense of entitlement there, isn't there?
Look, she has an opinion, and you know, she lives in Australia, so we all respect that opinion. She approached the Telegraph to discuss her gripe with Centrelink, and you know, her anger, and she kept talking about her anger that she wasn't receiving the full benefits since becoming a citizen in March. You know, she she's talking about regret now, about becoming a citizen, and that she would have stayed on as a permanent resident if she had known that she had to wait this 104-week period before receiving the full entitlement.
Oh, that's interesting. So the difference being, Jeff, what?
The difference in regards to what, Luke, sorry?
Oh, so she would receive more money in her, rather than being a citizen as a before she went through that process, she was getting greater benefits, was she?
No, she wasn't getting greater benefits, but she feels like, you know, after previously paying taxes, I think she worked between 2006 and 2010, she feels like once she became a citizen that that rule shouldn't be in place and that she should automatically receive greater entitlement, so an increased entitlement through the single parenthood payment.
Wow. Bet the website's running hot in response to what she's had to say. I can't believe the emails. Everyone wants to have a crack at her, I have to say. I don't see any emails here of support.
Look, I spoke to her yesterday, and I said that it would definitely be a talking point. and she honestly believes that the law should not be there. But as Scott Morrison told us yesterday, it's been in place since 1997, and that, you know, both the minister and Centrelink can't actually intervene in individual cases.
Hmm. And the point is surely that we, and it's given the state our books are in. Plus, it's an attitudinal thing, surely. The idea that, okay, now you're in Australia and you get stuff for nothing. We just give people stuff just for, you know, turning up and getting the citizenship. That isn't the motivation behind wanting to become a citizen of this country, nor is it, surely, Jeff, the attitude we want people to have. It's, you know, not ask what your country can do for you and all that old stuff, but it is more or less about taking responsibility for your life, taking hold of the opportunity Australia presents you with, and, you know, not expecting everything on a platter, because if we all expected that, nothing would happen ever on a platter. I mean, there is a real, I think, want now amongst the Australian people so that we, you know, front up, do our best and not just expect things for nothing.
Yeah, look, you know, as I said, that's her opinion, isn't it? And that's what we're here in the media to do, is to present people's opinions, and everyone will have a different take on what she's had to say.
Mm. Where's the father out of interest, Jeff?
Yeah, so the dad's Australian. He lives on the Sunshine Coast. So that's one of the reasons that she isn't returning to Poland, is that she wants to sort of be here and grant that access to the dad. Yeah.
Does he contribute? Do you know? Are we able to contribute? Out if he does?
About $40 a week.
Right.
Current contribution. So, you know, as a single mum, you know, I think Aussies all want to sort of support single mothers. Mm. But obviously, there's systems in place, and it's up to politicians and the rest and the public to debate that.
Yeah, fair enough. Certainly got us talking today, Jeff. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, Luke. Cheers.
Thank you very much indeed, Jeff Chambers there from the Daily Telegraph, and the story obviously is on their website. Look, if we can help people, we should help people, okay? But other thing is, you can't help everyone. So I go back to Dennis's email before. 70-year-old fella used his super, used his other savings. He cares for his seriously ill wife and just fronts up and does it every day. Doesn't ring up here and say, oh, this is bloody wrong, Luke, it's harsh, or Ray, or none of that stuff, just gets on with it. And here we have this. So it's very hard, isn't it, when you compare both situations and others that exist out there, to feel much sympathy for the lady. 131873. G'day, Steve.
G'day, Luke. How you doing?
Yeah, good, Steve. What would you like to say?
Mate, I want to get a little bit higher, a bit sort of 39,000 feet. In about the 1970s, we started breeding an entitlement culture through handouts, whether it's unemployment, single mothers, you know, residency, tax benefits, etc.
Yeah.
How do we encourage people to become net credit citizens instead of net debit citizens?
Hard, isn't it? Because you do all this giving away of stuff, free money to people, then you think, oh, now we've got to stop that. And then you expect people to say, oh, yeah, okay, let's stop doing that. No dramas. They're going to blow up, aren't they?
If you're making, you know, working a marginal exercise in terms of net benefits, you're going to get more people that don't work.
Yeah. It's a good point, Steve. I don't know how you don't change it overnight. We seemingly have been trying to change it for ages and nothing has happened. Good conversation addition. Thank you, mate. Bill, trouble there with the truck, is there, mate?
Yes, mate. Yeah, I'm from Sydney and I'm on my way to Willowbank Raceway, and a little while ago, I come down Cunningham's Gap and there's a B double laying on its side, close to the top. It's off the road, and not long ago I passed a heavy tow truck heading south. So I reckon they'll have to close the road to pick it up. So
yeah, so apparently we are told the driver has been taken to hospital with multiple injuries. Emergency services crews called to the scene around 8:20 this morning. Male driver of the truck has been transported to Warwick Hospital. Minor head injury and leg and back injuries. This is, I'm trying to think, I've travelled that road a couple of times. Would this be kind of halfway between Ipswich and Warwick? Is that roughly where that place is, Cunningham?
Yeah, it's halfway between, yeah.
All right. And you think, obviously, to write that, yeah, you're right, they're going to have to do something with that road. So it's a timely warning. We'll find out what we can. Bill, sorry to keep you waiting so long, and I do appreciate the call, mate.
That's all right, mate. But I just love you being on 4BC up here. I've listened to both stations since I left Tenterfield this morning. So
fantastic. Good on you, mate. Nice of you to say all that. I know that Alan and Ray and the others from the 2GB team who are on 4BC... love the opportunity as well, mate. Nice of you to give us a call and say all of that, and more especially warning drivers that might be headed in and around Cunningham's Gap to be very careful. Please do that. Melody, listening in Lizaro, says, is the father of her son paying maintenance? Well, given what we just learnt, yes. G'day, Luke, says Grant, with a Polish welfare recipient. Did she want to become a citizen or a parasite? Wow. Nothing needs to be added to that. Thank you so much. Lukester. Hello, Sean. Why do we get bludgers become citizens? Yeah, okay. We ban hard-working Kiwis with Aussie families from ever becoming citizens. We'll all have a view on this, which is why it's a good talking point. I just don't understand why, if it was all about the money, why didn't she read something? Was there not something available that said, oh, by the way, there won't be anything available to you for 12 months? Anyway, as I said, it's got us all talking, which is a good thing. 1-3-1-8-7-3-10-19.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1-300-USED-CARS.
Roseville Bridge, a breakdown, taking out lane 1, citybound. There's a tow truck sitting behind him, so watch out for them as you come down from the crown of the hill. Now, Bankstown, the Stacey Street, still a little busy northbound. That's due to earlier breakdown. At Beverly Hills, we do have a breakdown. King George's Road, lane 1 northbound, just past the M5. Kosciuszko National Park and surrounding areas, snow and ice on the roads. Four-wheel drives can get through on most roads. Other vehicles must use chains. And between Lithgow and Bathurst Roadworks on the Great Western Highway. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Driving to Sydney Airport this long weekend? You can make big savings on parking when you book online. Get a quote now at sydneyairport.com.au.
Great day to company here, 23 after 10 o'clock, 131873. Clem, listening in Kazakhstan. Are you really? You see, I happen to know, Clem, you could be actually in Leichhardt, round the corner, and just type no, but I trust you. Listening via the web in Kazakhstan, of course he's there. Hey, Clem, what's the weather like in Kazakhstan? It's bloody cold in most parts of Australia now, let me know. Read the Polish lady, Luke, when she became an Aussie, did she renounce her Polish citizenship? Likewise, how much social support would she get back in Poland? Very good question. Great show, standing in for Ray. Well, it's just standing in for Ray. It's easy to... Well, it's not easy, but when you've got to front two or three times when the great man is ill, it's a lot easier than fronting every day and rating the way he rates. But I do thank you for that. Appreciate the email very much indeed. 131-873 is the open line number. G'day, Rob.
G'day, Luke. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for making it.
Just this lady who seems to want everything just because she become an Australian citizen. We came out to Australia from Ireland in 1976, and we had to go through a fairly rigorous process with the immigration people. It took us 12 months to negotiate that. We didn't get a £10 palm trip. We actually got a subsidised trip out here.
Yeah.
And for that, we're very grateful. But the point I want to make was that we came here, and we had 400 quid in our pocket when we arrived.
Yep.
But my wife and I did four jobs. She did two and I did two because we could do it in Australia. And he had a chance. We took it. Mm. And within 18 months, we got a mortgage and we were paying off our first home. So I would say to this woman, get off your arse and go and work for it.
Can't say more than that. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate the call very much indeed. I mean, there are a couple of obvious things here. If the father is in Australia, and apparently he is, and I don't want to invade too much this person's space. I haven't named the child. I don't think that stuff is all that important. But nonetheless, live closer to him and share the responsibility if you can so he can work more is an obvious suggestion. Good on you, Rob. Look, the greatest, I think, and I'm lucky I was born here. Don't worry, very lucky. Anyone born here, very lucky. Anyone who gets to be here, very lucky. But it's the opportunity, it's the ability to say, as Rob said, you know, get off your backside and have a go. You can actually do that. And if you're in a position where you can't do that through illness or other circumstances, we generally look after you. But surely we're at the point now, and part of this links back to having sugar on the table. Aren't we at the point now where we say, you know, there's a two-way street here. All right, we'll open the door to the great opportunity, but have a go. We're not going to open the door and say, right, I sit down. Now, here's some money for this. Here's some for that. Oh, don't worry about paying your rego. We'll pay that. Oh, want to go to the doctor? Go for nothing. Want some drugs? Here. Get a $100 script for $4. Grab that. No, no. How good is it here? You know, and as one of the earlier callers said, how do you then turn around that mindset? And to be fair, I mean, you want to have a crack at Rudd and Gillard, and plenty of people do. There were lots of free stuff on offer from the Howard government as well, and from governments prior. So there's nothing is free, nothing. But how you turn that whole mindset around is a tough one, absolutely. Gitesh from Markham Hills. Hello, mate.
Yeah, mate, how's it going? Love your show.
Thank you.
Just the one thing. I don't know what world we live in right now. We become a big joke out of the world. But did you realize that? She's getting a $540 and she's affording private school. I don't know how the hell it works because I work 14 hours a day. Still, I can't afford public school sometimes because I got to pay a lot of money for this. You know, the stuff, little stuff, you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say right now. The lady should go back, pack the bags and go back where she come from. Simple as that.
Well, a lot of people share that view, Gitesh. I understand the anger, and on the surface, and from what I'm seeing on the email, lots of people share your view. When you say go back, she's been here for some time. She'd only become a permanent citizen, and I think in March of this year, she has paid tax here and worked here and lived here for some time. But it's just the expectation of the stuff for free. Nothing is free. Thanks for your call. Good on you for having a go, mate. 131-873 is our number. I want to get to Brad in a moment or two, who's, I think, lost his hearing aid. Brad, can we help you out, mate?
Yeah, g'day, mate. I'm just at work here. I work at Coates Hire in Wagga. And an old fella's just come in the back gate, lost his hearing aids between Wagga and Tamora.
That's a hell of a trip. Was he running, walking, or
riding a motorbike, I guess.
On a motorbike?
Yeah, he's had him in a little grey case, but he's been at the back of Coates Hire and headed home, lost his hearing aids, turned around, done the return trip, and he's just walking down the road and come in the back gate here looking for them, if he may have picked them up.
So did you tell me it was in a grey case, did you?
Yeah, in a grey case. Now, I had a bit of a joke with him, said, mate, look, Coates Hire can't actually hire your hearing aids, but...
You'd have a PA system, wouldn't you?
We've got everything.
Geez, you're getting some plugs in here. This is beautiful work, Brad. I'll send you an invoice later. But shouldn't you just have there a megaphone and just say, mate, take this with you. When you have a conversation, give it to that person. They use that, and then you're hearing it. Things work out beautifully. There's an idea for you.
Well, I suggest that he painted the case orange like all of Coates Hire equipment.
That's three. You're on fire. So if anyone sees and we'll keep your number, Brad. Thanks for the call. A hearing aid. This is obviously on the Goldfields way between Tamora and Wagga Wagga. I don't know how you find something so small if you're driving around. Keep your eye out. I mean, if it's a loose lion or an elephant or even a shark from Sharknado. I put that on the other day. Has anyone seen that? Here's the premise. We have a hurricane hurricane, if you like to say it that way, in the just off the coast of Los Angeles, that whips up millions of sharks that then become deposited in Los Angeles on the streets, and they eat people. I think it goes for 87 minutes. We got to the 8th minute and then said, no, couldn't do it. But if there was a shark, you'd see it, right? If there's a hearing aid, it's a lot smaller. Anyway, if you can help Brad out and his mate, let us know on their regular number, 131873, and we'll pass the details back. Hearing aid, my grandfather, when he was alive, had a hearing aid. It was, we used to have a joke at each other's expense, so it was okay, but he'd turn it up. Mate, you can't hear me. Turn it up, then there'd be feedback. No, turn it down, and then the to-ing and fro-ing. You can make light of what is a serious situation for lots of people. But anyway, if you find it, let us know, and we'll tell Brad all about it and get our hearing aid man and his hearing aid back together again.
Macquarie National News.
Morning, Natalie.
Good morning, Luke. Treasurer Joe Hockey has dismissed talk about a housing bubble in Sydney and Melbourne. He says the global experience was that only happened when supply exceeded demand, and that's not the case here in Australia. Alan Bond remains in a critical condition in a Perth hospital following open heart surgery. The Queensland Nurses Union wants staff in rural hospitals to be given extra security to deal with the growing number of ICE users. Some are too scared to open hospital doors at night. And Johnny Depp has greeted excited fans as he prepares for what's believed to be his last day of filming at Queensland's Raby Bay. In sport, Australia's finished at 3 for 85 at stumps on the opening day of the first test in the West Indies after bowling the Windies out for 148. Luke, more news and sport in 28 minutes.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Natalie. Look forward to that. 131873. And just to go back to Coates Hire briefly, that our previous caller Brad was mentioning as often as he could, they are in fact a football sponsor here. They sponsor the video referee. So we love them for good reason, and to think they would be so charitable at Wagga Wagga as to help a bloke find his hearing aid is more reason to go to Coates Hire, one of our sponsors here. 131873, the open line number, and 27 to 11. It is 24 to 11 o'clock. I've just got some news here which you don't enjoy having to share things like this, but I have to share something like this. An additional charge will be laid against a 24-year-old Leeton man arrested as part of inquiries into the disappearance of Stephanie Scott. Now, as I mentioned to you today, this is headed to court, and hopefully we'll have detail on it a little later in the day. A charge of aggravated sexual assault will be preferred against the 24-year-old man when he appears in Griffith local court today. He's already been charged with Ms. Scott's murder. She was 26, as I told you, last seen at a workplace, Leeton High School on Myrtle Street, about 11 a.m. on Sunday, April 5, then reported missing to police on the Monday. Detectives from the Griffith Local Area Command formed Strike Force Gundabri, or Gundabri, I hope I pronounced that correctly, to investigate her disappearance. So the charge of murder was already there. And we add to it now a charge of aggravated sexual assault. I tell you what, I'd love to be able to be as forthright as I, no doubt you, are feeling at the moment. I think we can add two and two and come up with what, in fact, has gone on there. But, oh, my God, some people, you just... Anyway, we'll find out from the court exactly the further detail when that becomes available. But you hear stuff like that and you just... Anyway, 131873 is the number. It's 22 to 11. Trevor, g'day.
G'day, Luke. I'm just ringing about the when Mike rang you up yesterday about the Melbourne Evans collision on the anniversary.
You know what? I went home last night, if you don't mind me saying this quickly, Trevor, and I was saying to my partner Linda at home, how you get a telephone call, and I said, you know what happened 46 years ago today? And she said, no. And I went through the circumstances of Michael's call and, you know, how he was... he got upset at one point and told us what he went through that night. And, of course, I mentioned that there were 74 American personnel sadly killed. And, you know, just how people, just ordinary people going through, and I know it's a tired old expression, extraordinary things. And here he sounded like such a beautiful man, still with great pain. Thought he'd ring and make mention of that. It was a remarkable call, Trevor, I have to say.
Yes, I'm just saying, I was on the Melbourne also. And
you were on the Melbourne? Hang on, you were on the Melbourne also?
Yes, I was.
Oh, Trevor.
Yes, and...
Can I ask what you were doing on board on early that morning, where you were?
Well, I was in bed at the time of the collision.
Right.
And, well, the alarm was sounded, hence the collision station.
Yeah.
And jumped out of bed into my overalls, went to our station, and I was up on the up where Mike was, shutting down hatches to make sure the watertight integrity of the ship, and when the front part went down.
Yeah.
And also we tied the after section along the starboard side of the Melbourne and were involved in helping the people out, survivors out of the after part of the ship, and to sick bay if they'd required, or down to the where they mustered them down the officer's flat. And what I was talking, ringing up about was how much the Navy disregarded the personnel with grief processing.
Yeah.
We had no counselling or anything.
Yeah.
And we were just sort of left to toughen up and do your job and carry on.
Yeah, you know, often we talk about, you know, the different world in which we now live, and, you know, there's the idea of talking to people and counselling, and we thought in the old days we were a tough bunch, and probably were, but this is one area where we let ourselves down, wasn't it? The fact that we, particularly given what you went through, were you in the water as well?
Yes, we had to go down the
Trevor.
On the water. Yeah.
And it's 10
people out of the water.
3 o'clock in the morning, and you're retrieving. Yeah. I suppose you're retrieving people who have passed, are you?
Oh no, most of them were survivors, but some were badly burnt from the fuel oil being on fire type of thing, burnt, and you had to get them up the after ladder to get them to a sick bay.
Trevor, do you still talk to? Do you still have friends or people you know who were also on board the HMAS Melbourne?
Yes, a few, I do, yes.
And are you able to talk about it, if you don't mind me asking?
Not that often, no. It's sort of, yeah. you still get flashbacks with what happened, and it's still troubling even now. It's
sorry to hear that.
And the only relief we seem to get, and our doctors always say, don't stop drinking alcohol, but that's the only relief you could get with the stress and everything.
Yeah, I understand that. Mm. After the incident, what happened then? Were you? This goes back to, you know, how we care for people, isn't it? Were you expected to continue serving, and you know, no leave, no time off, that sort of thing? No,
that's correct. Yes. We had to go on joining when they were doing the bows on the ship.
Jeez.
So you sort of had to suffer along.
And after the damage that the Melbourne sustained, so this happens very early in the morning, and I assume at some point you head back to port. So were you at sea for many days after that, or what happened?
About 4 days we sailed to Singapore.
Yeah.
But during that time, you know, like some of your relief is a cigarette. But they were discharging aviation fuel, which you couldn't smoke at all. Huh. And so that was sort of extra tension on you. And when once in Singapore, we went in the dry dock.
Yeah.
And we stayed at the British naval base.
Yeah.
But the big thing was alcohol. Yeah,
understand. And did you have... how old were you at the time, Trevor?
I was 20.
20. Had you met the love of your life at that point, or did you have other friends, or did you have family members on board, a brother or someone?
No, it was just friends on board the ship. All different departments are very close together.
Yeah, of course.
And,
Mate, I don't know what to say other than it's easy for someone like me to say I can't imagine, but that's true. I cannot imagine, and I thank you for your service, and I wish we'd done better by you. That's my belief, having heard Michael yesterday and now you today. I wish we'd had our act together to look after you fellas, who we were already asking a lot of, and then to think, come on, mate, tough enough, get back out to sea. I know it was the thinking at the time, but it doesn't excuse it, does it?
What made it worse with me particularly was that was in 69, and I had to go back to the Melbourne in 1976 and serve on her again. And that was very traumatic, being back on the ship.
Did you ever sleep?
Not very much.
I can imagine.
And I was able to swap to another ship. But you still, when you were serving with her or with any other fleet, you sat up in the upper deck, and that's where you were doing watches, because you couldn't stand below the deck just in case something happened.
Yeah. Take care of yourself, mate.
Thanks, Luke.
Wow. It's an honour, I have to say, to speak to men like Trevor. So, gosh, he goes through that, and then we say, oh, by the way, can he go back and serve on that ship? Oh, dear. Ah, don't know what to say. 10:45.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 used cars.
Harncliffe, now the M5 main tunnel, already rather busy westbound as you make your way towards the Bexley North area. Once you're clear there, good run down towards Campbelltown. West Pennant Hills, a truck, he's broken down. Castle Hill Road, near Pennant Hills Road. Another one at Carlingford on Pennant Hills Road, southbound, just past North Rocks Road. Now between Lithgow and Bathurst Roadworks on the Great Western Highway, speed down to 40 kilometres. And the Kosciuszko National Park and surrounding areas, snow and ice on the road. Four-wheel drives can use most roads, other vehicles use chains. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The biggest sale ever is now on at Big W, with huge savings across the store, like 50% off a huge selection of women's clothing at Big W today.
It's 11 to 11. Much of the discussion today has been about this story in the Telegraph featuring the new Australian citizen Agnieszka Swiatkowska. And the idea that she is of the view that she should be back paid welfare and should receive more than what she is getting now. You've heard the story. We spoke to one of the journalists involved. Well, Agnieszka Swiatkowska is on the line, which is good, so we can have a chat and we can get her point of view. Good morning. Thanks for your time.
Good morning. Thank you for your time.
Not at all. I want to give you the chance to put your point of view. The story kind of indicates that you feel that Australia should be paying you more in welfare or back paying you welfare, because once you become a citizen, you should be entitled to the welfare system. Is that the point you wanted to make?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly the point, because when I became a citizen, I made an oath and I said that I will respect the culture, the law, and I will be, it means to me I will be treated like all other citizens.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, when I applied to Centrelink for single parenthood payments, I was told, no. You are citizen, but we still do not treat you like citizen because you need to wait.
I've had a number of people call who are in I don't know if they're in the same position as you, from around Sydney and Brisbane and Canberra, who have made the point that they arrived in Australia with not much money and they worked two or three or four jobs in order to make ends meet, because this is a great land where if you put the effort in, you get a great result out. Do you see any merit in that in that thought, that in fact you should go looking for a few extra jobs?
I arrived in 2006 and till 2010.
Yeah.
I've been working in many jobs. I've been working with Indigenous Australians, with refugees. I've been working with people with disabilities. And I never asked for any single cent from the government.
Right.
And I've been paying taxes.
Yep.
Then I had a son in 2010.
Yep.
And my working possibilities diametrically changed. Because right now, I'm a single mom. I have no family here who could help him and support me with having him. And it's very difficult to find a job when you're the single mom, the child who just started kindy is getting sick quite regularly. It's very difficult to find any money. So it's a great country. You can earn your living. And I came here with 100 Australian dollars. And I just never complained.
Yeah, I understand that. Is your boy's father helping out?
He's paying child support. That's it.
Right.
$40 a week. That's it.
How much a week does he pay?
$40
bucks a week. That's what you pay if you're receiving a benefit, I think, isn't it?
No, he's paying that as a child support, which is, you know,
By the tell me why you won't vaccinate your son, because that holds back one benefit, I think, specifically. Why don't you believe he should be vaccinated?
Because I think the vaccination do not protect children from, or the society, from the sicknesses, from the from whatever they vaccinated for. And I believe that there is poison in the vaccination. There is lots of stuff that do not serve our bodies.
Yeah, but this, hang on, this is science. It's not about what you believe in. It's based on fact and the numbers and the evidence available. And the evidence available, doesn't it indicate that vaccination is indeed a very sensible thing to do? It's not what you believe in. It's what the science suggests through the numbers, surely.
There is the same number of proofs and science that shows that the vaccination is doing harm to our bodies. I think we very often not aware of the harm the vaccination is doing to us.
Yeah.
There is lots of people who suffer after vaccination.
Okay.
And my son has never been vaccinated. We just simply eat healthy food. We spend lots of time outside. We live simple life. And he's fine. He's not being sick. Yeah.
If you didn't send him to this Steiner school, I'm not sure what that is, you'd be able to save some money there, wouldn't you?
I would. But I believe that Steiner school will provide the best environment for his development.
Yeah. But so surely when you make those decisions and, you know, you make a judgment that he'd be better off at a school that requires you to pay more money and various other things, why then is it the problem of the government to pay the difference when you've just admitted through choices, you know, you might have more money readily available if you didn't send him to that school, for example?
It is a little bit about the money, but it is not about the money, honestly speaking. You know what? Because I feel like a second-class citizen. I became a citizen of this country in March this year.
Yeah.
In March this year, I had to vote in the New South Wales election. This was my obligation as a new citizen, yes?
No, so that's right. Your obligation is to vote in that. But there's also, I don't understand why you think that as a result of becoming an Australian citizen that there's an entitlement to welfare or the like. I mean, surely you knew that, otherwise you wouldn't have gone through the process. But if you work hard, as you said before, there's some sort of return. We're about to hit the news. I've got to go, Agnesta, but thank you for your time very much. Almost time for the news at 11 o'clock, an hour to go. Hopefully Ray back in the chair tomorrow. Unwell again today, but obviously rushing back is silly. One or two emails suggesting, is there a vaccination against stupidity? I don't know that there is. In fact, I'm now convinced there is not. But thank you for your notes. 131873, 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au. News next.
You're listening to Luke Grant, filling in for Ray Hadley, right across Australia.
And back for the final hour of the show. I'm told Ray will be back tomorrow. Brilliant news. So you'll be able to hear him after 9 o'clock in the morning and give him a call and say good day. Plenty of people wanting to talk about our previous guest, Agnieszka Swiatkowska, who appeared in the Daily Telegraph today, and we thank them for not just publishing the story and having a chat to us, but making this, of course, it's a really important topic in relation to people that arrive here, people that were born here, and the expectation that, hey, here's something for nothing. As I said before, there's no such thing as something for nothing. It's got to come, obviously, from somewhere, and just the attitude seems to have really annoyed a whole lot of people. Now, I really don't want to, for the next hour, just take phone calls of people who want to pot the attitudes of our previous caller. I think we all get it that it's just not what we consider to be, or is it, the norm in this country. But fair dinkum. When it came to vaccination, I think that's when most people got more than a little concerned. Rick, g'day.
How you going, mate?
Going well, Rick. What would you like to say?
Good. Listen, I don't like to nitpick and point things out, but that last caller, at the beginning of the conversation, she was saying how hard it was to be a single mum, and with a child going to school and being sick all the time. And then when you brought up the vaccination part, she defended it, did a bat flip, and said that the child doesn't get sick.
Yeah.
The child gets sick or not. And if she's only a new citizen, I reckon it should be part of citizenship. If you get citizenship and you have children, it's a must that you have your children vaccinated.
Vaccinated. Well, lots of people would agree with that. Now, she goes back on to make the point that she's been, in fact, living and working here and paying taxes prior to becoming a citizen officially in March this year. But, again, look, we all make these decisions. At the end of the day, you want a system that supports people that can't support themselves, and there might be a lot of merit to her argument. I don't know her well enough or the circumstances particularly, but when you say things like, you know, I don't believe in vaccination, I send my child to a fee-paying school, and I want to do that, and then you whinge, oh, I don't get enough money. Well, you know, like you and I have to, if we get a bill that's a bit high, you got to, you know, look for areas where you can cut what you're spending in order to get through. And she seemed to be horrified. I think she said the word once or twice, listen, listen, when I made that point, as if to say, you know, she's being treated as a second-class citizen. I think a system like ours, whilst it doesn't give everyone a couple of hundred grand and a Rolls Royce, I think I said before, when they want one, it does go about trying to do its best for people who can't do the best for themselves. But I'm just not convinced that she's doing the best for herself. Is that what you think, having heard her?
Same here. Look, Luke, I'm part Aboriginal, and people say to me all the time, why don't you claim the benefits that are given to Aboriginals? And my response is that, why should I? I'm more than capable of working and earning my money myself instead of holding my hand out. I've worked since I was 13 years old, and I'm nearly 50 now. So I don't understand this mentality of coming to this country and holding your hand out and getting everything for nothing and not bothering to work.
100% with you, Rick. And just to make the point again, it's not just people that might come to Australia, it's people that live in Australia and think, hey, it's okay, let's get some of that free stuff. You beauty. And governments are in part responsible for that because they made it a reality, sadly, and too often over the last 10 years or more. Thank you, Rick. Good on you, mate. Lovely to talk to you. All the very best. 131-873 is our number. Kamala, hi.
Oh, hi, Luke.
Hello.
Take my call.
Thanks for making the call. Nice to know you're there.
Yeah, no, it's basically to do with that young woman who had called.
Yep.
Basically, I think she really needs to get up out of her butt and start doing some work, really, and sort of trying to make a go for herself. I am a single parent, or I have been a single parent with three children. I brought them up. They're older now, and they're very responsible people.
Good.
I am a nurse. I left to my country many, many years ago.
Yeah.
I went to England. I did a lot of training, and I worked and worked and worked.
Yeah.
We came here in 93. However, I thought, well, we're going to make a big life for ourselves. I did it and went to nursing school again to get educated regarding the system here. Although it was a similar system to that of England, but I still went in. My daughter, she was only 1 year old. However, I worked nights after nights after nights itself just to make a go of these things, of my life and my children's life.
Yeah.
My husband and myself, we split up after a few years because the pub was his ideal place. So at the same token, I decided that was it. We came here to make a go for ourselves. So we split up. And from that day on, I vowed that I have to work in order to make a life for myself and my children.
And when you make a life for yourself, you know, without being silly about it, because there are tough times whether you do this or not, but it is satisfying, it is rewarding, you get lots of good things, and hey, that's a great place to be. It's you know, it's a much better choice than the other option of sitting by and hoping that someone comes to help you with a checkbook or the like. Kamala, I have to move on because there's another story I want to get to, but good on you for having it go, and thank you so much for listening. It's nice to know you're there. Yeah, gee, we get some great stories here. 131-873. I want to go to Peter Stefanovic, who's the Nine News reporter at Griffith local court. Now, we've been telling you about this trial following the horrific death of the young teacher. Peter Stefanovic's on the line. G'day, Peter.
Good morning.
What can you tell us, mate? What happened in court this morning? We understand there was an additional charge, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Vincent Stanford, the 24-year-old, he's been in custody or been in jail for the last couple of months. He appeared via video link today. Yep. He was wearing his green prison jumper, and he didn't really react at all. He went for about 5 minutes the entire hearing today, and the extra charge of that he sexually assaulted